Welcome to the Success Journey Show. Let's travel together through the lives of individuals on the road to success.
Hey, what's going on, travelers? Ricky Venters and Marlon Madden, and we are back with you for another episode of the Success Journey Show. What's going on, Marlon? How are you today?
I'm doing well. By the time people hear this, they'd already know that you're 40. You had your big, you see there in the background, big party at his house, his 40th birthday party. Everybody, the Queen of England, she flew in.
She has some tea.
The Prince of Wales, the Duke of
Nottingham
came over. So Lancelot and all the knights were there at the round table. It was a great time, man. It was
amazing. Like Marlon said, by the time you guys see this, man, by that time you hear this, it definitely would be a couple weeks away. But dude, it was great, man. It was beautiful just having everybody in the room, all the people in the room, in the house, and just the backstory to get there. My wife and I just sat back at the end of it, like, man, you know, we did it. You know, this is something that we talked about doing early summer. Actually, I've been talking about it all year. And then as the summer came around, it was like, all right, did we do it or not? And then she's like, nah, let's just do it. And we went ahead and did it. And, you know, it's just the love in the room, man. I was in tears, crying and laughing, you know, crying emotionally, you know, it was whatever, man. It was just good, you know, good time, man. Good time. So, man, appreciate you guys for jumping in there. You know, Donovan, Marlon, Rayvon, and my pops, my godfather, my mother, you know, all these guys, man, just speaking into my life and just reflecting. My mother-in-law held it down with the food, you know, just went in. I tell you, man, it was amazing. Some friends came in, hold it down. We got to get him on the show. Hugh Sinclair, his wife, Candace, and you know, my boy Nehemiah came through. Like, it, man, Vaughn, I'm gonna stop. I gotta stop. I did that night too. I want to miss somebody, man, and I don't want to miss anybody.
You didn't mention me.
Everybody was equally, you know, loved, and even people that were not there are loved. You know, like I got notes from some people like, oh man, with my, but yo. My house is the only fit, you know, I'm not even going down that route, right? Like, it's just, man, I'm just so grateful that I'm 40 now. And, you know, it's different, you know, it's different. Now I know what these old guys, you know, were, have been experiencing. And now I can just, I'm gonna be laughing with them now versus, you know, laughing at them, so. Yeah, it was good, man.
Might just do something different. People do their 40th and their 50th. I might do like a 46 birthday party. Like, what the 46? Yeah, man. Big shit.
46, man.
Big 46. Man. You know what I'm saying? So I might just do that. You inspired me. I can't tell you. Have never had any kind of big birthday
party.
I've never had it,
dude.
It's
funny because, like I said, I haven't had many. I'm not the type of person that likes the limelight either, you know. So, and I didn't feel like the limelight. I felt I was just like enjoying everybody's company, right? It was just like, oh man, yeah, we're all together, and like, oh wait. It is my birthday. It's my birthday. That's why we're here.
Yeah, that's why everybody's here. Yeah.
So it was beautiful. My wife, shout out to my wife, man. She really, really went over the top and really went over the top, man. I love her. And, you know, she really made it special, you know. So, yeah, man. But, yo, what's been going on in your world, man? How are you feeling these days? And
Budget passing and on the hill and all that different stuff. My thing is, I really been just doing some, well, not to, it's no nothing different that we talk about, Rick. It's just like I can't handle the excuses anymore about no information or we didn't know this, or we didn't have this information, or this information wasn't readily accessible to us. There's too much information out there. I saw our Earn Your Leisure podcast that talked about, you know, I sent you something today on Instagram where Zuckerberg has teamed up with Ray-Ban to make this 3D glasses that it looks like a regular glass and it has all these fit, form, and functions to it. And, you know, some people...
Mission Impossible glasses.
Mission Impossible glasses. You know, Elon Musk is trying to go, and Zuckerberg and Bezos is trying to go to the daggone moon and go to Mars and have inhabit Mars and all these different things. And Zuckerberg is trying to stop disease 100%. And Bill Gates is buying every farmland, doing whatever he does. Or I don't know. Some people, there's a lot of conspiracy around it.
Right.
You know, all these different things that people are doing, but yet still our people in our culture, right? Like they like to say, are still talking about like who's wearing what, who's beefing with what, who's driving a nicer car, and who has just bought a nice home, and da, da, da. Like it's not.
Yeah,
what we're
priorities, man. On,
yeah, what the priority is not. It's not where it should be, right? It's not where it should be. People are trying to live a life that they're like partying. Look at it. Partying is at the forefront of everything we do.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to get on the Instagram and you have to show that you go to a party. If you say we're going back to Africa, what they show when they go back to Africa is the partying
party
scene of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If they go to a foreign country that they're visiting, the party scene is what we're showing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Right? We're on jet skis and we're... It's not...
But you
there's
know,
nothing,
bro,
there's no edification or growth.
But what I realized, man... People that are movers and shakers, they are inspired and they wake up inspired to move and shake.
Yes.
Right. Now, on the contrary, that people that like partying, they like to move and shake as well. Right.
Yes, they do. In a different way.
But in a different way. But here's the thing. That adrenaline to just party and just for the entertainment side, that fades away a lot faster and there's no lasting impact versus someone and when you're making an impact in the world every single day.
Correct.
Change of lives. Correct. Every single day. Impacting lives, man. That's going to sustain you. Serving others. You serving and entertaining yourself is not going to sustain you. That's why you got to keep doing it every single week.
Yep.
That's why you're trying to do it all the time.
That's why I got to keep doing this over
because you got to hit that high over and over and over and over again. And it's like you're moving yourself away from the presence of life. And that becomes the highlight of your life. Like that becomes what I look forward to. But I tell you guys, you know, people that are, but honestly, Marlon, it's not everybody. It's not for everybody.
It's not for everybody.
Everyone's not going to be there.
The mouth is saying something different. That's what I'm saying. Everybody that says that they want to be movers and shakers, I'm happy that you put it that way. Now we're going to put you in what category of moving and shaking. Do you want to do?
Yeah.
There's moving and shaking and partying. And then there's the other moving and shaking where you're impacting lives. Now we just got to know what sector to put you in. And then not that you got to stay there, stop complaining. My complaint is not the same as your complaint. Because your complaint is that you can't catch the new dance. I'm trying to create something different over here. And one thing I'll tell them is that you will look up and your picture will be on circled with some balloons like that, and you will be 40. And that moving and shaking that you did on the party floor would mean nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing. And guys, man, it's just, and not to say, oh, we're bashing. I hate putting disclaimers out. I'm not putting a disclaimer out. It is what it is. You take it how you take it. It's life, man. And
life.
It's either you're going to walk in one this track or the other. But at the end of the day, like Marlon said, 40 years, 10 years, 20 years down the road, these are the results that you're going to get. You're going to be saying the same thing over and over. That's it. And once you're okay with those things, boom, live your life how you want. But don't complain.
Don't complain.
So,
hit doctor. Yeah, man. Hit doctor.
Hit doctor is going sponsor. Extremely well. Our sponsor, man, go to hitdoctormd.com. We have our Elite Swing Trainer, our very first product that we launched onto the market. You know, no matter how many times we say this over and over again, we think, man, everyone should know about this. Everyone doesn't know about it. So that's why we're mentioning it again today. The Elite Swing Trainer on the Hit Doctor, hitdoctormd.com. Go check it out. If you know someone that's playing softball or baseball, they need to have this in their bag. You know, a person that's coaching softball, baseball, they need to have it in their bag. A couple of them in a bag, multiple tees with it. So go check it out. We have a few retail partners as well. Man, the company is growing. It's exciting to see the leaps and bounds. We're learning something every day. There's not a day that goes by we don't learn anything.
Built up a new vertical, the marketing vertical.
Oh, yeah. Building up the marketing side. It's just making pivots and learning. You know, like you'll learn today. One of the biggest things today that you'll learn in this episode is the 60% rule, right? The 60% rule. And she didn't say it that way, but I'm going to call it the 60% rule. I'm going to title it, right? Not knowing everything, but being willing to figure it out. And that's what we've been doing. And we have a strong team that's trying to figure it out together. So, yeah, guys, man, we hope you enjoy this episode.
21 the net.
Just 21 the net. Up. Yes, sir. 21 the net. Anyone else, man?
That's it, man. All right. That's cool. It. I don't want to hold this too long because, you know, the episode, everybody wants to get over to that episode.
Yes, sir. So for those that are watching this Facebook live right now, we thank you. We thank you for tuning in as well. Saw some likes come up and comments, man. Appreciate you guys for checking us out and stay tuned for this episode in the future.
This is our intro.
All right, everyone, have a good one. But that our next voice you would hear after this episode, after this commercial will be none other than Kathy Hum. All right, guys, have a good one. Peace.
I would love.
You've been listening to the Success Journey Show. You can check us out on our social media on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook. Also on our website, thesuccessjourneyshow.com. Enjoy the rest of the show.
All right, travelers, we are at our favorite segment of the show, the segment where we bring on a guest and get to hear and share in their experience of life. And one thing I just love about our show is it says the wise, I forget where this is exactly, but it's like the wise man seeks wisdom and counsel from people that have gone before them, right? And I'm paraphrasing, I didn't say exactly like that, but that's what I took as a definition of it, the meaning of it, right? So as we're on this podcast, we're learning from people and their experiences, people that have tread paths before us or tread paths alongside of us, and it helps us grow and our understanding and give us ideas of what we could be doing next in our lives, or give us motivation or inspiration or encouragement, right, in our current journey. So we are so glad to have Kathy Hum with us today. Kathy, thank you so much for joining us on the Success Journey Show. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Ricky?
Doing really well. Doing good. Really well. Thank you for being a guest today. Why don't you start off by sharing with all of our travelers and guests from around the world just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. So I grew up with 7 brothers. There were 8 of us in 9 years. So if you didn't speak loud enough, you were never heard in my family.
You said 8 in 9 years.
No, there's 8 of us in 9 years. I have 7 brothers.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And ironically, I have 4 grown children and I have 3 stepchildren. So 7 children altogether.
Oh, wow.
So I love kids. I love large families. And, you know, my childhood really taught me to have a really strong work ethic, to think outside of the box, to be creative. And I spent about a little over 16 years in the HR space. 9 of those years, I built and maintained an HR department at a mid-sized general contractor in the Mid-Atlantic region. And the last year or two there, I realized I was more of a builder, not a maintainer. So the strategy around HR was just so enticing to me. So I took that leap off the ledge with some nudging from friends that were in the consulting space. You got this, you can do it, you know, that encouragement, because it's a big step. Yeah. And started my own business about a year ago, NTPHR, which is, NTP is actually an acronym in the HR space. I mean, in the construction space, it stands for notice to proceed. It's when the developer gives the general contractor notice to proceed to move to production. So I thought, how perfect. Notice to proceed with HR solutions. So wow. that's how I came up with my name. And
love it.
I'm really blessed and grateful to say that I have not had to advertise myself, because the key is networking. And while I was at Parkins, the general contractor, I got involved in an organization called Associated Builders and Contractors. And I've been a member for 10 years. I was on the Baltimore board for 3. I'm serving my 3rd year at Metro Washington. And that networking has led to just about all of my clients that I'm working with today. So I am a year later, still standing, doing well, and love it. Love it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, that is awesome. There is so much to unpack there.
I know.
But first and foremost, just want to say congratulations to, you know, going off on your own and celebrating that year of, you know, being in own space. I listened to another thing and someone said, You're not free until you have your own, right? And, and no matter how much you're working and do great things and, you know, do all the things, but when you have your own and you're building your own, it's just another feeling that you get of satisfaction and reward. So congratulations.
Thank you.
For celebrating your year. And I got to pause for a second before I start asking questions, because I let the travelers know. So Kathy and I, we met probably 3-4 years ago in one of those meetings, and for the boards that she sits on. And it was just, you know, casual conversation. We're talking about whatever the topic was at hand. And I think that I might have only seen her maybe once or twice in those meetings, right?
Yeah.
And it was probably around 4 or 6 months ago now that we bumped into each other again. And I'm sitting next to her in this meeting, and I recognize her, but I cannot remember where I knew her from. And she's talking, and I can even hear her voice. I'm like, I know the voice. I know everything about it, but I just cannot pinpoint where I know her from. And it comes to find out that that's our origin.
ABC.
ABC, yeah. Yes, around 3-4 years ago. And just coming back and crossing paths now, and just in the different spaces that we're in.
Yeah.
So man, it was really good and refreshing to be able to connect with you again and seeing that you went off on your own and you're having the success that you're having. So congratulations again. So going back, right, we got to unpack this.
Okay.
Seven siblings. You are the one.
Sixth. I'm the sixth, and I have 2 younger brothers. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah,
man. So they had 5 boys.
Said
we're gonna do this again. Got a girl. Got our girl. Oh, maybe we can have more girls. I think just like, what does this have more in general? And, you know,
my mom is. She will tell you that she always wanted to have 8 kids. I had 4, and I said, that's enough.
Wow! Wow!
Yeah.
Man, well, hey, they didn't have a lot of Instagram and social media back then.
No.
So it was
no. Right. Right.
A lot of different pride and joys. All right. So, but yeah. So you, number six, like what was it like? And you guys were all relatively close in age. You said it was a 9-year span that all of you guys were in?
8 of us in 9 years. It was a really wonderful experience. You know, we grew up, we didn't have a lot, but we had each other. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a time where technology wasn't where it was today. So, you know, playing outdoors, we always played 2 to 3 sports, you know, each season, very active that way, church going, grew up Catholic. So parents kind of checked all the boxes to keep us active and doing the right thing and not getting into too much trouble. I'm not going to say we didn't get into trouble, but not getting into too much trouble. And we're all successful in our own way. We were all very driven to succeed. Most of my brothers are baby boomers, and generally, you know, it's put your head down, do your work. You don't need a lot of positive accolades. And that's kind of, I'm a Gen X, but really kind of feel like I'm a baby boomer. Yeah, a boomer.
Wow.
So it was great. Today, would I like to have had a sister? Yes. But growing up, I didn't know any different.
Wow. No, that's awesome. So you growing up, and you know, as you start looking at things that you're interested in, tell us how you kind of ended up in this space of HR. Like, how did you fall into that niche to serve the world?
So my background's a little interesting. I have the 4 kids, my third child. So I have a son and 3 girls, and my third daughter, my third child had significant learning challenges. And we really didn't know what she had, but it ended up being significant processing issues along with a couple of other things. So I had to be home more with her and the kids until they got to school age. But what I did when she was younger is I actually started working for the school system in Calvert County in special education, because I wanted to know from the inside out how it worked. So while I was working there for 4 years, within that time frame, I started mapping out, okay, what do I want to do next? Like, what do I really like to do? And I started researching degrees, because I didn't have professional work experience other than working in the school system. And I landed on an HR degree, master's degree. And you talk about, you know, just doing it and getting it done. I went back and got my master's in 2 years. I took 2 classes every semester, spring, summer, fall, graduated with a 4.0 with 4 kids and 1 with a disability. And so I graduated because I wanted, that was going to be my foot in the door for HR. So my first job was recruiting for the Columbia Bank. And I did that for a period of time. And then I moved into an office management / HR role with Avaya Government Solutions. It used to be Nortel Government Solutions. Okay. And they had a large contract with Social Security. So I did the office administration and the not the corporate HR, but the site HR facilitation. And then I transitioned to construction and spent 9 years there at Harkins Builders.
Wow.
And it has been a journey. I love it. I absolutely love it. I learn every day.
Yeah.
No 2 days are alike in human resources, because you're dealing with people and you have to be flexible. You have to be nimble. And another big tip, particularly for anyone who's interested in going into business for yourself, and even more particular women, is you have to learn to be able to raise your hand to say, I can do this at 60%. And not wait till it's 100%. I'm sure I can do this. You have to be able to say, I can do this at 60%. go to all your resources, whether they're online or people you know or mentors, Google, internet search, whatever it is, and you figure it out.
Expound on that. Expound on that for us, because we're living in an information age. We're living in an information age, right? Mm-hmm. And some people, they have analysis paralysis. They sit down and they're waiting for the perfect time to go, especially when you're saying, I'm going to go out and create my own company or start my own company. Explain to them why you say 60%, and then how do you make up that 40%? I know you went through it briefly, but how do you make up that 40% to make that whole? And do you ever feel that you're at that 100%?
So that's a good comment at the end. I like that. I'm a firm believer that we all have the power to create and to make things happen. And we're all smart people. Yeah. The brain is a powerful tool. So when a situation, a problem is presented to me, whatever it is, or a client says, can you do this? Well, yes, I can. And I may know that 60, 70, 80%, 90%, but I'm confident that I can get to from A to Z and do it well. And how do I do that? I'll raise my hand to say yes, and then I will do all the research necessary and then make an executive decision as to, okay, now here I'm going to do this, this, and this. Let me give you an example. I work for a nonprofit, and they wanted a member engagement strategic plan. And I had never done it, but I've done strategic plans. But member engagement, I went into that situation saying, yes, I can do this. Never done it. I would say 60%. I related that to employee engagement.
Yeah.
And I've done employee engagement surveys and analysis. Yeah. And I said, okay, let's take members for a nonprofit and let's pair, you know, equate consider them as employees.
Employees, yes. Yep.
And how are you going to get them engaged?
Mm-hmm.
And so then I went to the internet and I did all kinds of research on member engagement strategies and surveys and probably a dozen sites. And then what I do is I take, it's almost like a research paper. You take these 12 sites and sometimes, a lot of times I don't print it, but sometimes I might print it. And then you take a smidgen of this and a smidgen of that and you put your own little magic dust on it.
And
you pull it all together because they're all different. They're similar, but they're different. I mean, you read books on, you know, how to, you know, recruiting strategy. They're all similar, but different. And so you put your twist on it and your magic touch, and then you pull the trigger and you say, I like this product. This will work well for this client and we're going to go with it. And then when you present it, you ask for their feedback and say, okay, are there anything you want to tweak before we move forward with this strategy or how we solve this problem? Always have a solution and then ask for the feedback and then move forward and then nail it ahead of schedule.
I love it. I'm so glad you said that, because I think that is one of the things that really keep a lot of people back. Like Marlon said, the analysis by paralysis, or just wanting to make sure that they know, wanting to make sure that they're the experts at something. And it's not to say you're not going to get there and that, you know, we're there, but sometimes, like, I love what you said. I just believe in myself enough that I've gone through the trenches enough in the past to figure things out that I can figure this out too. Right. Yeah. And just having that confidence, that's what people want. They want problem solvers, people that are going to roll up their sleeves and help solve a problem with them. So, you know, it's it now on the flip side, you know, there are people that
That pull
say
the
that
trigger
it
too early.
pulled the trigger too early, right? They got maybe like 10% of
And
the
they shooting
shot.
their and they shooting their own friend. They're pulling the trigger, killing their own
Yeah,
friend. But you
yeah.
have to and you have to
Yeah.
follow through. You have to
Yeah,
follow through and deliver.
yes,
So
that's key.
in
Yes.
construction in particular, I've seen small businesses go out of business because they'll promise, but they don't deliver. And I think that's an important piece too. You have to deliver and you have to be
Over
diligent
deliver.
and make
Yeah.
it happen.
Yeah,
Yeah.
no, that's
Yeah.
so true. What have you seen differently, different in the different sectors of HR? I know you say people are people, right? But people that work in construction versus nonprofit versus that, you know, it's, and you don't have to tell me anything that's proprietary of, you
Yeah.
know, information. But, you know, more in the sense of how do you address the different spaces that you have to move in? Is there, do you like analyze, do you realize, okay, I'm going to be in this type of space? These are the type of people that typically are in these different sectors. Do you talk to them different? Do you know, communicate, you know, all the different things that are those going through your head? Or are you just like, hey, you know what? Let me just, I'm not going to explain what you do. Just how do you address those types of different areas?
So in HR, there are basic functions. You've got recruiting, you've got benefits and compensation, you've got learning and development. And I couple in there career development, career paths, performance management, and you have compliance. And of course, you always have employee relations and employee issues you have to deal with. And that's on a regular, ongoing basis. So HR is transferable from business to business. But if you know and understand the business, you're a better asset, a bigger asset to the C-suite team. And what I've always done is I've learned the workforce by meeting them where they are. When I started at Harkins Builders, I said to my boss at the time, I he said, "So what are you going to do in the first 90 days?" I said, "I'm going to go to every job site and I'm going to meet every person in this company." "You are." And I said, "Yep, got my boots, got my hard hat, got my
And
vest,
my
I'm good to
best,
go."
yep.
And he said, "Really?" And I said, "Well, employees are my customers and I have to know them. I report to the executive team, but the employees are my customer." And so we need to know as HR representatives, we need to understand the workforce. We need to understand the breakdown of the different generations in the workforce because each one of them, in general terms, because not everybody falls into their millennial, Gen Z, whatever, boomer, but in general, they all want something different from, you know, attracting talent to retaining talent. So you need to understand that. You need to keep your thumb on the pulse to really elevate a company to a high, the next level, you know, a higher level.
Yeah, no, I
So
like that.
just understanding your workforce is important and meeting everyone in the workforce. Now, I can tell you there is a difference if you're corporate HR and you try to apply corporate HR and maybe more rigid policies and procedures in a more blue collar
Environment,
environment, it's not going to work. I've seen it fail where
Over and over
HR
and over.
representatives didn't succeed because they were trying to force a square peg into a round hole. That's not to say, you know, you should. You know, you shouldn't abide by rules or anything like that. Of course you should. You know, there's federal, state, local regulations that it's
Correct.
just your
How do you
way
apply them?
of your, yeah, best practices and the way
Yeah.
you go about your business
Yeah.
in the space.
So talk about when you really started, you went into your master's, four kids, got your master's degree, you get into the workforce. How was it still? I imagine there still was a juggle there.
Oh,
Get
yeah.
into your career Talk about one element of it, and I know that my wife, she had a similar kind of story in the delayed workforce experience, right? So you're getting into the workforce, you don't have as much experience because, you know, you're, like you said, you're working in the school system, things of that nature, but it wasn't like the career you're building. You get back to go back to school, now you have your kids, all the kids get ready for school, things of that nature. Now you're entering the workforce and it's like, where do I place in this workforce? Like, where am I positioned? I'm not someone coming right out of college going into this. But at the same time, the people that were my peers in college, you know, they're much further in their careers because they've been here, right? How did you feel going through that transition and just really getting back into the workforce?
Well, I just always had the mindset that whatever I put my mind to do, I'm going to do. Mm-hmm. And I think that was a driving force. I decided mm-hmm. I wanted to go into HR and I wanted to learn all the different functions of HR. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that was a barrier. I think what was harder, having a child with disabilities, I remember clear as day, the first year recruiting for the bank, my daughter had a seizure and she was at a friend's house and I panicked and I went into my boss's office and I said, I gotta go. And it's just so refreshing when people are so human.
Understanding.
And it's great when you have good managers that really understand that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that work-life balance is a real thing.
Yeah.
And how do you balance that? I think that was a little bit harder than, you know, kind of getting my pecking order and being a little bit older. That didn't bother me too much. Because I knew in time things were going to work out. And I just had that mindset too. I believe in the power of positive intention and what you put out there is going to come back to you. Mm-hmm. So I just know that if I continue to put out positive energy and work hard, do my networking and build my relationships around me, that things are going to happen. And so I think there's something to be said about that.
Yeah. That go ahead, Marlon. I don't want to hog it up. Yeah.
No. I was gonna veer right a little bit. So I don't know if you wanted to stay in this.
No, go ahead. No, you're good.
I was gonna say, you know, just from talking and listening, mostly listening, I'm picking up the personality traits is family's important, hard work and dedication, not afraid to go and get what you want. And think you think positive and you think positive stuff should come back. But in 2022, you decide that you're going to start a company. And that's something, that dynamics right there, it is not for the faint of heart. You have to have all that I just mentioned in order to be able to take that leap. Starting this company, what did you expect? What did you know so far? Granted, I could tell you're a researcher. So what aspect of it was what was very different than what you expect? And what aspect did you grasp? And you're like, oh, I thought this was going to be harder, but nope, I got this. But this side right here, oh my goodness.
So I keep going back to my network, and I had several friends and peers that were consultants or had been consultants, and they were resources to me. They were part of my research. What do you think? You'd be great at this. And how do you go about it? And what's the process? So my one friend, Lisa, mentioned to me, you'll be great. She was an HR consultant and she did really well. And she said, just go to LegalZoom. So I was sitting watching TV. I thought, you know, I just love this the strategy of HR, and I'm going to do it. So I was watching TV one night. My husband, He had no idea what I was doing. And I go into LegalZoom and I said, name. What name would you like to be called? And I said, NTPHR. Congratulations. That name is available.
It's available.
And then it was a couple more questions and probably 30 minutes later and a few $100 later. Congratulations. You just started your own business.
Yes, there you go.
And I looked at my husband and I said, Wes, I said, I just started my own business. He
said, what?
And I'm not kidding. I just, yeah. It was 30 minutes. That's all it took. $100, I'm in.
Yep.
And so he was all excited. And then I put, I put my message out on LinkedIn. I started my own business and the text started rolling in.
Oh, wow.
She's a free agent. She's a free agent.
Wow.
We want you to come talk to me. Mike Henderson of ABC Greater Baltimore, he reached out and he said, I heard some news. We need to have lunch.
Oh, wow.
So what I did in the 9 years while I was at Harkins at Associated Builders and Contractors, people knew me as the HR lady. They'd come up, they'd saddle up next to me at an event, and I've got this problem. I felt like Dear Abby. What's going on? You know, whether it was a harassment claim or what's the new law for this, or, and so I would just share my experience and people just got to know me as the HR person. And the funny thing was, when I little by little, you know, this few weeks in, I got a client and my husband and I both work at home and he's upstairs. I ran upstairs. I said, a client. He said, really? I said, yeah, I got a client. A few days later, I ran upstairs, got another one. I guess I'm not sure if I'm answering your question, but
I took that leap
knowing I had built a good network. Mm-hmm. I was confident in my HR abilities and I felt very, you put positive out, you get positive coming back to you. And I felt like things were going to happen and they did. When I started progressing, what I found, I love the strategy piece. Absolutely love it. Build a performance management strategy, strategic planning, a career paths are big nowadays. Do you have career paths for your different positions and the career progression? A lot of people don't. So let's dig in. Let's roll up our sleeves. Let's figure this out. What kind of training do you need to get from here to here? Love all of that. What I realized probably 6 months in is that I wanted to do it all, but you can't do it all. So a lot of people wanted me to join committees and boards and you have to really start being intentional about, okay, what's going to matter and what gives me energy for my business and for me personally? Wellness was a component of my initial HR assessment, but I really don't have a lot of experience in wellness. Could I put together a wellness strategy? Absolutely. So about 6 months in, I realized, okay, I'm going to shift some of those questions to just miscellaneous, other, and not have a focus on wellness, because there's a lot of people who do that well. And so you start to kind of form and shift and say, okay, these are the things that I really do well, and this is what I want to focus on.
I'm going to ask this one. When did you figure out that you were willing to trade time for money? Meaning you were willing to pay someone to get something done. Because, you know, when you first start your company, you always try to bootstrap it by yourself. And you're saying you try to do everything. You try to be the accountant, the lawyer, you try to be everything for that company, right? And then it comes a point where you figure out in the company, I am willing to trade time for money.
Absolutely. I'm not there yet. Mm-hmm. I'm not there yet. My goal is to maintain a 40-hour work week. That's my goal.
Yeah.
And I'm super efficient. My executive functioning skills are really good. So I'm very efficient with my time. Meetings are run, there's got to be action items. When's the next meeting? Let's get it on the calendar. When you walk away from a meeting, everyone has their action items, and that's the first thing you address in the next meeting. Make sure they're addressed. So time is money. And when it gets to a point where I need to hire somebody to do the things that maybe are my least favorite, or I'm not as good at, I don't want to be spending time administratively when I'm in this business to transform companies from transactional to strategic HR. Mm-hmm. So when I'm in the weeds in transaction, I can't help them be strategic.
Yeah.
And think big picture.
Yeah. I love it, man. Seeing the journey, have there been any aha moments as you've been on this side of the, of the world now, right? Entrepreneur's world. Any preconceived notions as to what it could be that on that side versus what you actually see now? It's like, wow, okay, now I thought it was going to be different in a good way or a bad way, right?
I just think it's super cool, Ricky, when the light bulb goes on with the C-suite or whoever you're working with, the HR person. I mentor with the HR lead of organizations and then have meetings with the executive leadership, usually every 2 weeks. We've done at one of my clients a strategic planning session, and they've been in business for 20 years, never did one. And there was some skepticism and fear about what this would look like. And we have created the strategic plan. We created an org chart, which we're calling an accountability structure. And the leadership team has totally transformed. They are so excited because now they're seeing these goals and objectives go from incomplete to in action to completed, or no action, in progress to completed. And it's just such a clear picture. You have targets of everybody should be speaking the same language. Everybody should be focused on these goals, and they should trickle down into each of the departments. And then they should have objectives that align with the strategic plan. And it's just a beautiful thing to see the light bulb go on and, this is great. This is great. It's working.
Yeah.
But to get there, it's like pulling teeth sometimes.
But it changed the climate. You know, when you have a organization and that climate is conducive to everyone there and their growth, production goes up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Efficiency, everything goes up. And that's when the people at the top start seeing like, okay, this is why you do this. This is why you have path for people in a company to excel.
Yeah,
because they want to have benchmarks in order to accomplish whatever they want to accomplish. And now they're working more efficient, more harder, whatever the situation is. And then their eyes start to open up. So I can attest to that, to say anytime I went into any kind of company and I saw, and you could see the climate, that the climate wasn't right. You knew that the top wasn't paying attention to those people that were lower in order to get them to a higher level.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you want to expound on that.
Well, I can tell you that when when the C-suite has buy-in to HR, wonderful things happen. I remember a friend of mine, he knew the CEO at Next Day Blinds, and his best advice to him was, your best partner in your organization should be your HR lead. That should be your confidant and your right-hand person. Mm-hmm. And when C-suite buys into that and you have the right strategic person in that place, it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful thing. Because oftentimes the executives are meddling in HR stuff.
That's what when I was gonna say. That's,
they're engineers or IT or construction people, and
they figure, oh, we can just do it. We
don't I can need do this too. It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. You are so spot on with that. And the question I was going to ask you is, how do you tell companies when's the right time to bring on an HR person? Because as we know, you know, in the pecking order of organizations, a lot of times when they look at IT or they look at HR, or they look at any of these other administrative non-billable departments organization, is like, oh man, do we really need it? Like you said, and that's when you find C-suite individuals wearing a hat of HR and they have no idea how to, you know, really work with people. But, you know, they make sure that, don't get me wrong, everybody, they make sure the policies and things are in place, you know, so they're complying with stuff, but they're not operating in it. HR is not operating in a efficient and most places not a good way at all, right? So, yeah. Like, when do you tell companies like when they should start looking for bringing in, making sure they have an established HR individual there that can be connected to that C-suite to help them as they're growing?
Here's how it rolls most of the time. Company starts. They get to about 20, 25 people, and the executives are wearing multiple hats. They're doing payroll. They're doing everyone's performance reviews. They're making sure everybody's happy. They're doing the recruiting, and they're not doing what they're good at, which is getting business, networking, thinking strategic and big picture. Then what they usually do is they hire somebody to do payroll. And then they take this payroll person. They're like, you know what? Yeah. Oh, you need to do these HR functions too. Yeah. So payroll is lumped into HR and
you know, an accountant HR person.
Yeah. So they're lumped together. And I go into some of these organizations, in some cases they have 50 people and they don't have an HR representative. And what I do is I do an HR assessment and it's from soup to nuts. You have to, you know, fill this out before we meet in person, because I'm a firm believer in the in-person meeting. And it has a bunch of questions on strategic planning, recruiting, all the functions of HR, so I can get a broad brush of where they are. Mm-hmm. And when I go into that meeting, if they don't have an HR person, I can guarantee you on my summary, I break it down into red, yellow, green. At the top of the list is you need to hire, you know, I'll work with you to hire your first HR person. But I have the conversation with them in the meeting too. Look, there's a lot involved in HR. And if you want to do what you do well and you want, you know, John Smith and Susie Smith to do what they do well, you have got to pull this all in to one department and have at the very least an HR generalist that can help you with recruiting and tracking down performance appraisals and administration, compliance, updates to the handbook, writing policies. There is a lot to do. And the funny thing is that most people in organizations will chuckle and behind the scenes, they're like, I don't even know what HR does. What are they doing?
They
don't even know what we do. And
until they have a problem.
Yeah. And I'm currently teaching a master's HR class, human capital management at UMBC. And I broke it down into three goals, objectives to reach. One is you're hiring your first HR hire. The second is building your HR department. And the third is building cohesive teams.
Yeah.
So when we get through a lot of the content, the students are, wow, there's a lot to this. And yeah. Student I had last semester worked at BG&E, an engineer, and he said, man, I had no idea you all did what you do. My rule of thumb is you should have one HR person for every 50 people in your company. It's kind of my rule of thumb. And if you aren't automated, you need to do it yesterday.
Yeah.
And it'll cost you, if you're a 100-person company, it'll cost you, I don't know, $25,000 to get all your,
systems automated.
To automate the HR. I mean,
there
are people that are still living in spreadsheets and putting information in one spreadsheet to the next, to the next.
Tracking your vacation in spreadsheets.
Spreadsheets. And I have one client that is working in Access. I think she has
Access
databases.
Oh my information. Goodness. Wow.
And I said, we hire a person, this company, and we're going to demo three or four human capital management systems. And we're going to implement something.
Wow. It's crazy you say that. And it's so funny because, coming from the engineering world, and the consultant world, you'll have that guy, sometimes like the electrical engineer, the dual IT director.
I know.
So they're the electrical engineer. So also they should know IT as well. So like, you're the IT guy. One guy, I've been running IT in my company for the last 15, 20 years, And it's like, okay, but what about having someone that actually does this?
Knows what they're doing.
That thinks strategically, right? But it just goes to the HR. Yeah. It's like, I could do HR. What do they really do? What are those guys really doing? What is she really doing over there? I'm really glad you said that because a lot of people, and there's different ways people to do it. I mean, there's, some people, they're looking at the cost, right? They tell me, how can we hire someone, full time? Do we have the cost? And that's typically the reason why they delay so much a lot of times in bringing in that resource, because they're balancing out, okay, do we bring in another expense, operational expense, or do we bring in someone that can help generate more, our revenue. Profit and profit. So that's what they're weighing out. But people don't realize, like you said, plus 50, your profit can be in jeopardy because you're not taking care of your people. Right.
So when I recommend, one person for every 50, what I also want to share to your travelers and both of you, a lot of times HR representatives, they have the people thing down pat, the employee relations and all of that. The key to HR is you have to speak executive speak. You have to be able to help the executives manage cost and risk as it relates to human capital. And when you can do that, then you are of value to that organization.
Yep. We call that talking up the chain, right?
Yep. A lot of HR people, they're good at dealing with people, but they'll take a problem to an executive. They don't have a solution. They don't, the first question out of a CEO's mouth is, what's it going to cost?
What do we do?
I don't know. What's the impact to the business? What's the risk? Do I have to do it or do I not? And if you don't have those answers, you're not going to be of value to them.
Yeah. It's funny. In the Marine Corps, we have this acronym. We say WIFM. It's called a WIFM. What's in it for me?
Yeah.
So you should always, especially when you're talking up the chain, you should always have that with them. Why is it important to that person?
Yeah.
How is it going to benefit them? And what's the overall goal, right?
Yeah, I mean, put yourself in the owner's shoes. I mean, Ricky, you were just saying, when do you hire that HR person? It's an overhead expense. When do you get that HR system? Well, my thing is, hey, a system's $25,000 for, say, 100 people. If you hire somebody, it's 50. and they can do the work of one person.
Yeah.
But putting it in cost versus, well, we need it.
Benefit.
Mm-hmm. Why do we need it? Well, but it's so, so important to be able to talk cost and risk and put yourself in their shoes.
Oh, Kathy, this has been great.
And, oh, good.
Man, this is really good. Because you're coming from a perspective, you brought a lot out today in the show. And one thing I want people to just realize is that the biggest thing I want them to realize is what you said in the beginning, just your mindset kind of going into this, right? Mm-hmm. The mindset of, you know, that 60%, right? That's not something that's taught broadly, right? There's a group of people that understand that, but it's not taught broadly enough of believing in yourself enough to, and your track record and what you've done and all those things, not just make believe that. We're not talking about make believe, guys. We're talking about believing in yourself. Don't make believe in yourself. Believe in yourself as to what you've done so that you can be confident enough that, hey, I could put myself in a challenging position to learn, to grow, because I know that I want to be able to add value to the space that I'm in. And I really thank you for sharing that and all the other nuggets that you've shared. But I really want to come back to that point because, you know, a lot of people don't say that enough. Mm-hmm. They don't say that enough and they don't hear that enough. And it keeps people stagnant. And a lot of people that are launching off into the business, like you said, you sat there in a matter of 30 minutes, you had your business started.
Yeah.
How many conversations have you heard people say, I want to start a business?
A lot.
And they're talking for years. Like, oh man, I tell people like, oh, Mickey, help me start a business. I'm like, you know, I can do it in like 10 minutes, right? Just give me a name. Give me a name, your address. I can get your business started in 10 minutes. There's nothing more.
But
I do
just want to add that women tend to have more difficulty. There are studies done that if you had a bunch of men and a bunch of women in a room, the women typically need to know the answer 100%.
Mm-hmm.
And men typically will raise their hand at 75-80%. Mm-hmm. And look who's moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. So I always encourage as a mentor of women, I have a mentee and I have a mentor. Mm-hmm. But my mentee, I asked her that question when I first started mentoring her. And I said, are you the type of person that raises your hand when you know it 100% or 75%? She goes, oh, absolutely, 110%. I said, we have to get you to 75%. 110, that wasn't part of the question.
You never raise your hand.
No. I said, we have to get you. And you know, like several conversations later, like 6 months later, she said, Kathy, she said, I remember what you said. And I'm starting to do that. I might not know it 100%. I said, you go, girl. You can do it. I know you can.
That is, it's just so funny. I was laughing to myself when you said, you know, women want to know everything. Because I know even me and my wife are talking, like someone would say something to me and I'll just take it at face value. Like, okay, yeah, they said this, this, and that. And my wife was like, well, what else? What else did they say? What else is going to happen here? What's going to happen? I'm like, listen, I don't need to know all that. That's okay. Like, what they want, just the need to know all the full pictures before decisions made. It's just funny as you said that. But, you know, so one last question I want to ask you, respect your time tonight. When you look back, like knowing what you know today, right? And let's say you had a moment. I'm trying to pick a moment for you. Let's just say the moment when you realize, you know, hey, man, you know, I'm going to make a decision to stay home with my kids and get them ready. I have a child that has special needs, you know, so I'm going to really make sure I have time available for her. Knowing what you know now, you can talk to yourself for like 60 seconds at that moment. What would you say going back in time? Doing it back to the future moment.
Well, I wouldn't change what I did because all of my kids needed me when they were younger, but particularly my daughter with disabilities, and she is thriving. She's almost 26. So I wouldn't change what I did, but what I would probably have done was to step out on that cliff sooner.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh man, we're gonna go for another hour. Man, that's you can't leave us on that cliff.
Because of that, just that need to have that 100%, or now that you, when you started to understand that 75% was good enough, or that you can do it, or what was that realization?
Well, so I was always somebody that didn't have to know it 100%, but as I felt more confident in the HR space, that percentage got lower and lower. You know, maybe it was at 80% or when I was younger, and then it, you know, man, I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. And you get to 60%, and sometimes it's 50%. You know, I got this. I can figure this out. I know I can. So I think it evolves when you become more confident with the subject matter of what you're delivering, or if it's a product that you've developed.
Yeah. I love it. Love it. Well, travelers, man, Kathy, thank you so much for joining us today, man. This has been an amazing episode. Thank you for sharing with everyone.
Sure.
For anyone that is looking to secure your services, you know, how can they get in contact with you so that they can share with you what their needs are around the HR space?
HappyHum@ntphr.com. And my website is ntphr.
There we go.
ntphr. Just go Google search me and there you go. But HR, Kathy Hum, two M's, Kathy with a Y, at ntphr.com.
Love it.
Be happy to talk to you about taking that leap out on your own, or whatever it may be, or even HR services that you might need.
Love it. Love it. Well, travelers, that is the show for today. We want to thank you for always tuning in with us and sitting with us as we have these chats, as we're learning from our guests as well, as they've been sharing their journey. So we will see you guys next week at the same time, the same place. Always remember, you can go to the website, thesuccessjourneyshow.com, to see previous episodes. But we'll see you guys next week at the same time, same place on The Success Journey Show. Everyone have a good one. Peace.
Bye, one love.
You've been listening to The Success Journey Show, where your dreams, drive, determination, and diligence are the foundation to success. For more information, check out thesuccessjourneyshow.com. The Journey Squad is here helping you to your destination.